This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
That's right. I lost a bet with Scott. I promised that I would keep playing the bluegrass music for the entire hour. But I'm only going to pay off my debt for about 30 more seconds. We are here on, gosh, it's the last Sunday of July 2007. I still have memories of 1999, New Year's Eve. I don't know if that makes me old or just with too many dead brain cells in between. Nonetheless, a pretty interesting and talented group today here in the studio. Folks somehow related to the arts and culture of Charlottesville, and particularly the Frank Ix building, Frank Ix and Sons Factory, now being made over into a mixed-use plot, a very large plot, down in the downtown area. So let's introduce everybody and get started. I like to start with the mixer because it causes us the most trouble. So we'll start over here against the window. Yes, sir.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
And who are you?
My name's Johnny St. Hours.
Johnny St. Hours. The for those of you in the area who follow anything in our alternative weeklies, the talented, unique director in our area, correct?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking, I guess.
In a manner of speaking. You look a little surprised to hear that. No one's ever told you that?
Well, I guess I've read it in the weekly papers as well.
But, you just don't want to hear it shouted out to the millions who are listening between all around Virginia and on the internet and everywhere else?
I don't have to talk back to the weekly papers when I read it.
So. Well, that's why I'm starting out polite and nice, to get your faith.
Well,
so we'll
thank
start
you very
from much. There. Yeah. So Johnny St. Hours is here in the studio. I'm going to mispronounce this. Piraeus Pictures?
Yeah, that's correct, more or less. Piraeus.
Piraeus Pictures, yeah. Lighthouse Films.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've done things from a recent TV show, correct?
I've produced a pilot for what I hope to become a TV show. That's correct, about Oliver Kuttner.
And as well as films that have been in the Virginia Film Festival and other places?
That's correct. I've had a film in the Virginia Film Festival. I used to run a film collective in 2002 for a few summers in a row, I guess up till 2004. I ran a film group called the Guerrilla Film Unit Self-Taught Film Boot Camp, making all kinds of crappy movies. And now I teach at Lighthouse. I teach narrative film directing to teenagers.
I think we had Shannon Worrell on the program several years ago. She's still
great.
Involved with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, she does a great job.
It's a big big program down there and gets a lot of kids interested, excited, and...
It's very cool. It gets me excited, too.
Keeps up their talent.
Yeah.
All right. So Johnny's here in the studio with us. Next over in the center, John Owen. From Live Arts and Owen Interiors. Tell us a little bit about that.
Which? Hi, I'm John Owen. I'm an independent artist who thrives on community art. That is to say, I do work all over the place as an interior designer and decorative painter, and that's the thrust of my own personal work. But it grew out of a larger body of community work that I've been at since I graduated from high school, even before that, because I've always lived here and I've been an active member of the arts. And for a long time I performed, and then I was always doing some other design aspect of community theater, and that just spreads out so nicely across the last, 25 years.
So did I hear that right in that you use your talent at painting and decorating to help with the artistic community here in town?
Well, I'm a commercial artist, but my fine art, my own personal fine art, is generally devoted to the community and to the development of the of the arts community here. So I've done all kinds of projects. I've designed events.
What events have you designed?
Oh, the Live Arts Galas. I've always participated in those.
Okay.
I've been one. John Gibson and I have designed almost all of those. Maybe one that we didn't do together. And so that's been a huge contribution, something I'm terribly proud of. And I've worked with Live Arts since they began.
Wow, that's been quite some time now.
I'm old.
Well, I guess that could be taken that way, but...
And I'm wise.
You know, I have a friend who calls me Mr. Wisdom, and then I think I went 1 for 40 on crossword puzzle questions over the weekend. So... Don't play that up too much now, because people will call you on it.
Okay.
All right. Next over, ladies going last but not least today, Leah Stoddard. How are you today, ma'am?
I'm fine.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Sure.
Now, you are director at the Second Street Gallery.
That's right.
And I guess in relation to the Ix building, Artini and Artini 2.
Yes.
So... and again, we're going to do this throughout the hour in terms of the building as a whole and each person's connection to the building. But how does being director at the Second Street Gallery lead one into wanting and choosing to do Artini?
Oh, that's a wonderful question, 2 weeks after, whenever it is. Well, I've been at Second Street since 2000 as the director, and we moved to the City Center for Contemporary Arts that was newly built in October of 2003, and we're in the same building with Live Arts and Lighthouse, actually. And when we moved there, it was very important for me to recognize our new neighborhood. It doesn't seem like a new neighborhood when you're 2 blocks south of McGuffey, where we used to be located. sorry, but it is. And so we decided early on to do a couple of things to recognize our new neighbors. One of the things we did is an outreach program, the Friendship Court Initiative, which is what Garrett Square is called now, Friendship Court. And for 3 years, we did hands-on workshops with local artists at Friendship Court in their community center. And so it was natural then to think about other places in the neighborhood where we could partner with other organizations and think about ways to kind of use some of the interesting aspects of what really is sort of an urban part of the downtown mall. I mean, it's hard to believe, but if you go 2 blocks south, or Ix is about 4 blocks south of the downtown mall, it really feels urban, and it feels like it has a lot of personality, and there's graffiti, and it's, you know, and it's got wonderful expressive possibilities there. And I know the committee that helped Second Street Gallery put together Artini, when it was sort of germinated about 3 years ago, thought of where could we have a large-scale dance party and do something different and unique. Well, our space isn't really conducive, like Live Arts is, to a gala. It's smaller, and it just doesn't have the scale we were looking for. And I know the committee, you know, the Kootners and Oss, Trixie and Ludwig are longtime supporters of Second Street Gallery, and I just was a natural partnership to think of Ix. And when the committee did a site visit, they knew it was perfect for a fundraising dance party. So that's where sort of Artini began, was seeing the space and getting inspired by the space.
Well, that's a great segue into the building and what it's doing. By the way, 11:10 on the wake-up call, Leah Stoddard, John Owen, Johnny Saint. I know I'm going to do it a dozen times. Johnny Saint.
Hours. Yours,
so
mine,
it's,
and ours.
It's hours that's, without the H.
That's correct.
And I when I type that up, I'm like, yeah, that's how I hear it in my head, but I know it's going to be different, so I'm going to confuse myself all day. Johnny St. Hours here. All right. Who wants to take on just a little bit about the history of this building? Because, not a, you know, we have listeners in Harrisonburg, and Lexington, and Richmond, et cetera, et cetera. And while to many of us, whether you've just driven by it a few times in the downtown area intentionally or because you're lost, and you see this big, big building off to the side that, you know, was starting to be, if it wasn't already in your mind, a little decayed, seems a little heavy, but, you know, certainly well-worn and not used. And
I can help you with the history. the Frank Hicks building is it's a huge chunk of downtown that was private for the whole time that it ran as a mill. But the company actually started in 1919, and they built the Charlottesville branch of Frank Hicks in 1928, I think. I'm lucky to have some notes to go by. But the interesting thing is it ran as a mill, and it was a community unto itself in that very location for all those years till 1999 when they actually stopped producing. Yeah, so... and the interesting thing about it is that my introduction to that building actually was through the arts, because I was working on a film with Beatrix Ost, and we needed fabric for our set, and I had never approached Frank Hicks, that company, ever before for any products, but we decided to see what was in those walls, and we went there and got tons of fabric donated for this film project. And it's funny, now they actually own the building, and the arts activity has continued for me in that building, even though the mill is no longer there.
Now, for me, you know, the vision when someone talks about the Frank Hicks building and this downtown setting is, before I ever saw it, I envisioned sort of like a big school with, you know, big smokestacks on the top of it. But that's really not what it is.
Hmm. It's a conglomeration of different buildings that were used for different purposes.
How many buildings are there?
We were talking about that earlier. I think I know of 10, and there may be 13 or 12.
But we're talking about double digit. You know, a big building, medium building, small building.
Yeah. It's a whole lot of building.
Are all of them currently in use?
Oh,
because this is a redevelopment, correct? The
right.
Hicks and Sons folks, the Silk Factory is gone.
Right. Right. None of that manufacturing continues there.
But there's a wonderful website, by the way. Does anybody remember the name of the website?
What is Hicks?
What is Hicks? Mm-hmm. And it's... The website is tremendous in terms of full of information, and reading the history about it, it was interesting to read that the organization moved down here in like the 20s at some point to open a spot, and then he stayed down here, like many of us, drawn into the Charlottesville black hole to live. And then, despite the fact that the interest or the need for silk went up and down in terms of a retail fashion issue, that like during the war they switched over and made parachutes, and they were always reacting to what the needs were until being forced to go out of business, I guess, more of a world economy sometime in the late 90s, is that right?
Yeah, I think 99.
So I find that to be quite interesting. And then it took very little amount of time for this building itself to find a new life and continue on. So for those of you who haven't been, it's worthwhile to go to the website, What is Hicks? And I think that will draw your interest to come down and check it out. For just that interest alone, beside the fact that John Owen, Johnny St. Hours, Leah Stoddard all have interest in the building. Let's go from there. We've given everybody a little bit of time to talk about who you are and what you do, but let's talk about why you're involved in the building and what got you there. And Leah, we'll start with ladies first this time. All right. For those who don't live in Charlottesville or who don't read the alternative papers like The Hook, who underwrites on this program. Artini, what is that?
What is Artini? Well, it's a fundraising dance party. It's actually something more than that. It was a germ of an idea. It was based on something actually that was done in Oklahoma just with the dance party part of it.
So Charlottesville is copying Oklahoma stuff?
Something like that.
I'm
but
not
we,
sure
we
that
expanded
many people would
it
bet
and improved
on that,
it. I mean, what they did, what we've added to it is a whole aspect of Artini. Artini is an arty martini. And so the idea was to get area restaurants to compete to come up with the most creative Artini. And so 2 months before the party, actually, restaurants are presented with the concept, with the idea. Absolute Vodka underwrites a lot of the, it's a major underwriter for the event. And so they are given Absolute Vodka as sort of the starting point of creating these arty martinis. And the idea is to think about famous artists. It's sort of evolved this way from the restaurants, actually. And this year we had more than ever. We had 12 this year participating. And they came up with all these creative, I mean, for example, last year, OXO did one based on Damien Hirst. I don't know if anyone knows who's listening, but this is an artist from Britain who takes live, once live, sharks. They're basically floating in formaldehyde and makes a giant sculpture out of them. It's like a giant fish tank with a single shark floating in it. And so their Artini was a blue martini with a rubber shark floating in it. So it was sort of spoofing off of art that's been created all over the world. Some of them, like Bang, who won last year and won this year, the best Artini. Last year they did a Monet Artini, which was an edible flower floating on a cucumber in the middle of a beautiful Artini. So they're gorgeous. I mean, this year, Ten's Artini, for example, was based on Hokusai's wave piece. If anyone's ever seen that famous sort of Japanese artist work, it's a single beautiful wave. It's in blue. So theirs was blue and had a hand-formed iceberg sort of floating in it that looked like a wave. And then they had coconut milk on the surface that looked like foam. And the restaurants go all out and really try to be very creative. And then for 2 months, the judges, in fact, Trixie Ost was a judge for Artini. We had six judges taste them through the course of 2 months, and then they were the ones that selected the best Artini, and that was announced at the party.
Just based on taste, or it also based
it has,
on look,
they had criteria. We were very strict. It was about artistic quality, so the look of it, absolutely, and it was also about taste. So it's a combination of both that gets you to be a winner there. So,
you know, a friend of mine, you said Bang won this year?
Bang won this year, but X Lounge won People's Choice, which is during the event, we serve the Artinis over the course of the dance party, and people taste them, and then they vote for their favorite, and People's Choice was X Lounge.
So Bang mm-hmm. won the Oscar, and X Lounge won the People's Choice Award.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Johnny, you should be able to comment on that, right? As to which one is more appropriate? which one are you more interested in winning at some point in your career?
There you go.
The People's or the Oscar?
Right.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, do you want the critical acclaim or the public desire?
Well, with the advent of YouTube, I'm afraid I've already lost the People's Choice Award. I just can't compete for those things.
Well, that's true. It really does change the way things do.
Yeah.
All right, Leah, so Artini, and this was the second one, Artini 2.
Right, and so it culminates in a big party where the committee and people like Elena from Elena's and others created basically an atmosphere that was supposed to be like a giant dance club in New York or Miami.
Why Ix?
There's no space like it. The size and scale, I mean, we had 800 people at this dance party, and there's no space in town.
John Paul Jones? Is this not the same?
No, not really. This is open to the elements. So you are dancing, and it's all lit gorgeously. Blue Ridge Lightforms helped us with that, and you look out the window, and it's outside, you know, and it's the plants, and it's gorgeous, and you feel the breeze come through, and you look around at this wonderful brick and this old floor with the wood, and you just have to feel like you're in a place that's special. I mean, it's very creative and artistic feeling. I mean, the first time I ever was in the building, actually, was Hindsight Foresight, which the first time I think the building was really reused was by artists. I think that artists tend to be pioneers when it comes to using an unused building for their ends. And in this case, Ann Hamilton and others were sites of the University of Virginia Art Museum's Hindsight Foresight exhibition, which was multiple sites all over town, including at Trixie's house. And Ann Hamilton, who's internationally acclaimed as an artist, who's been in the biennials and, you know, et cetera, in the Venice Biennale, she had a piece that responded actually to the textiles that were made in the space. So she was showing a thread that encircled the room as a projection video, and it talked about actually the making of textiles. So it started with, you know, I'm sure the committee had that in the back of their mind when they thought, where should we have a party, which is about art. We are about, you know, the new art and new ideas, Second Street. And this really made a lot of sense because it's been the site even before of artists' happenings, and so it made a lot of sense to embrace it.
It is 11:20 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about the Frank Ix and Sons building, its new use here in Charlottesville with three folks who are heavily tied to the building. Leah Stoddard, who we were just talking to about Artini and Artini 2. Johnny St. Hours, whose business is actually in the building, correct?
Not yet, but will be. Starting out. I actually just got the first glimpse of my new space Friday.
And John Owen, who is artistically attached to the building as well. All right, let me take a moment and tell you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Patchy fog this morning, although that's probably all gone. Partly sunny, chance of thunderstorms today. Highs 85 to 90, 90 to 95 over in Richmond. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Lows 65 to 70. And then similar tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. 80 to 85. Right now, it's pretty nice outside. In the valley, it's 80. Some clouds in 77 in Lynchburg and in Richmond where it's 85. And a few clouds over a nice 77 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank 405fix.com for their support. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding, that's 405fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, back in action with our guests, John Owen, Johnny St. Hours, Leah Stoddard. I definitely want to get into John and Johnny's attachment to the building as well, but I want to take a moment and let's talk about a couple questions sort of overall and how the Ix building, I guess, fits into the community. One of the things a friend of mine asked me was how many artistic in cultural events, spaces, can one area, one city, and I mean by Charlottesville, take before you start taking away from the ones that are already there? I was hoping that Alex Citron would be here from Play On Theater, who's in the Ix building. But, you know, does Play On Theater hurt live arts? you know, and that sort of thing. Do the
Live arts uses the space at Frank Ix sometimes too. I mean, we've raised a lot of money over there using that as our facility for the gala and other kinds of performances that are spin-offs. But before we go any further with that idea, I want to kind of take the difference between live arts and Play On out of the mix, because we're both theaters, and we're both looking to give our audience. I don't think if you lined up 10 theaters on Water Street, they'd all do fine. This is an amazing community.
Do you think so?
Oh, it's an amazing community.
I mean, if you have 100 people who are only going to go, all right, let's say Charlottesville and Omaha have about 100,000. So let's say you have 15,000 people who are going to go to one event a month, as opposed to splitting that amongst three and everybody getting 3,000 people or 5,000 people, you have to split it amongst five. And so everybody only gets 3,000 people. That's not a factor
that you have to worry about?
I don't think it's a factor, though, because people have asked Second Street, are you concerned that there are other galleries on Water Street? And by no means. And actually, we're trying to characterize it as the Water Street Art Corridor because there's strength in numbers. And the more theaters you have and choice you have, the more people actually come all the way from the county to downtown. I mean,
and the level of
the
art
downtown
becomes the destination,
right,
not the box office.
Because, you know, for a long time, I mean, Second Street was in the downtown in 1973, and there was nothing. And, you know, it was a little click within. It was very nice. That's how it all begins. But we are thrilled. I mean, for example, with the Festival of the Photograph, we had over 1,500 people in 3 days, when normally at that period we would have had about 80. So it was unbelievable, and for us it's all about getting people downtown,
and that's the whole thing. Is for like Frank Ix has such an interesting accessibility to the arts that it actually brings a tremendous amount of life to our community, because there's a place for things to happen, and it's not whether it's private or public, and it's not whether it's photography or painting. It's just in general there's availability that we just really need, and it keeps the level of the community's perspective up. It does so much for us.
Well, it keeps the arts on the radar screen, you
exactly.
know? I mean, that's what I think is important about it.
All right. Feel free to dial up and ask a question if you'd like. Three very talented folks in the studio today. John Owen, Elias Stoddard, Johnny St. Hours. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Michael, finally back from governor school. Make him do some work. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919. If you have questions, we're going to get into a little urban redevelopment issues in the second half of the program, but let's go back to each individual's attachment to the building. Johnny St. Hours, you talked about how you just saw your office
right.
space.
Yeah, I came to the X building a few months ago as a product or byproduct or a victim of another development in town. My little 800 square foot double wide steel cargo container is getting bulldozed to make room for a 9-story building on Water Street. And I've been happily there for 5 years or something in this leaky, drafty cargo container I affectionately call the Iron Cave. On Friday, I looked at this space, which I haven't gotten out the measuring tape on yet, but as I stood there in the doorway, I kind of experimented by saying, "Echo, echo, echo, echo." It's a very big space. I'm not sure what to do with it. I'm thinking I might change my line of work into running a go-kart rink or something like that. It's pretty
awesome.
Now that
I would pay for.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, I mean, maybe we need one in town. I don't know. You know, maybe I need to sacrifice.
The one we used to have closed. That was very right, disappointing.
Right. Yeah. No, I do. I've been doing steel work for a number of years here in town. I did a lot of work on the facade of the glass building. I've done some sort of oddball things that maybe the curious eye will catch throughout Charlottesville. Like there's this one of my projects was this big multi-dimensional skylight on top of the linen building, which is kind of a similar fractionally scaled building to the Ix building. I put this skylight up on top of it, which is sort of barely visible from the road, but it boasts something like 498 individual panes of glass.
Wow.
And 23 different planar surfaces. It's sort of pretty sci-fi. Since I was 13 or something, I'd been doing video work, and had studied film. Never went to any, was not accepted into any universities or anything like that.
Is your new space meant to be a place to film, or just sort of your headquarters and editing spot, or what? Because you said you were going to be down in the basement, right?
I'm in the basement.
Is that, you know, based on your choice or their choice?
Well, I like it. It was based on their choice, but I'm quite happy. The
I suppose
ceilings
if you live
are
in,
not...
If you're otherwise in an iron cave, that being in the basement
right.
is really on that.
Well, the ceiling in my iron cave is barely over my head. And here, I think it's about 12, 14 feet mm-hmm. high. So it's not your typical sort of crowded basement. And yes, I plan to do both film and steel work there. My editing work, my office is based in the glass building, and I'll remain there for that kind of using all these computers and stuff that don't like dust or cold or, you know, any of the harsher climates that a steel shop can deliver. But I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty excited about the possibilities of more studio shoots. I do a lot of commercials around town, and I've been doing these car commercials lately. I'd love to be able to bring a car into my studio and shoot it there. Also, I've been long wanting to do some science fiction movies. It seems like a great place to build a spaceship.
That is a big
I'm not sure what's going to happen there. You know, go-karts or sci-fi movies.
By the way, we should take a moment, and despite the fact that that Leah has discussed how excited it is and exciting it is to have the Artini there, and Johnny's really looking forward to his new space, and John also giving a big thumbs up to everything, that they weren't invited here to, like, make the pitch on why you should go and lease a space at the Ix Building. We're talking about the Ix Building and its unusual character and unique aspect in our town. And, again, we are going to get into sort of the urban redevelopment factor. But these are three people who are representative of what's going on there. And so we're not going to toss out the number for leasing a space. That's not what we're here for today. So, Johnny, you talked about that the Iron Cave was, you didn't really have much choice, that was going to be lost. But again, I ask, why the Ix Building? I mean, Leah talked about how they needed a space that big. There just weren't really other potential places to go for what they're doing. But I would think that for you, who you're already describing a space that sounds, at least in the beginning, to be much bigger than you imagine and are having trouble, or not that much trouble, but, you know, hey, filling this really it's so different than what I'm used to. It seems that there would be lots of other places in town to choose.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, for me, it wasn't a question of the scale, although I'm not unhappy with the increase. The Ix Building definitely has a spirit, and downtown Charlottesville has a spirit. And also, you know, downtown Charlottesville in the last few years, since I moved into my cave, has become a more costly, competitive place to be, and that has driven out a lot of possibilities for more artistic, less commercial uses. I'm not particularly good at making money. I make a lot of things. I stay pretty busy. But for me to justify paying the kind of rent and in these places that have already been cleaned up and pushed up to the standard to generate the kind of rent that Charlottesville demands. So I like the concrete floors, the rough steel ceilings, the brick, the kind of falling down, what did you call it? Not decay, but
I don't even remember.
Well-worn.
Right.
You know, I appreciate that kind of thing, and most of the places you go out to rent are sort of, they discovered in the last 4 years that they could be sold or rented at a much higher rate, and so they slapped up some modern, you know, space glue materials and, you know, stainless fixtures and stuff like that, and they're demanding, you know, something like a couple thousand dollars a month. And it's all for a bunch of stuff I don't need or even want in a space. I like my cave, I like my steel walls, and I'm happy to...
A simple man who focuses on the work rather than the surroundings.
You know, in spite of that, I have to admit that I do focus a little bit on the surroundings. Maybe there is some vanity in that.
Well, they have to be inspirational, right?
Yeah.
The surrounding has to be inspirational, not give you some sort of falseness that you were
right.
talking about with how they're sort of quickly decorated to hide whatever. And the word spirit has been used here several times. And a new building where you put up the super glue to put the Lowe's fixture on it doesn't really provide much spirit for most people.
No, and it's just more stuff that's going to accidentally catch fire with a welding spark or something anyway.
All right. Let me take a moment here and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. You can find them at the corner of Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, as well as Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, in the Hollymead Town Center, and now on the Downtown Mall, all here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. Spell it out, F-I-V-E-guys.com. All right, back in action as we talk about the Frank Ix & Sons building and its renovation, its mixed use upcoming over the next several years. No one actually living there, I think I read, until 2008, 2009. So no actual apartments or condos.
I think it probably says something about that.
Warehouse lofts.
Descriptions of the phases in the website at What Is Ix.
It says 09.
09, yeah.
09. All right, I want to ask a few questions, and John Owen, we won't forget about giving you your opportunity to talk about what's going on there. Actually, we'll take a quick call. We got Andy from Nelson County. Hey, Andy.
How you doing?
Hey, man, what you got?
Well, I don't want to change the subject, but the last time I was in Waynesboro, like three-quarters of the buildings are all empty in the downtown, and I think people could utilize that as cheaper rent.
Well, I think you're right, and I don't know that, I certainly don't have the answer. I don't know if any of folks in the studio have the answer as to, you know, how, I guess, refurbished the residential spaces are designed to be, and whether they're meant to be sort of middle class or high upper class rent places. Anybody know?
They're all like consignment shops and stuff now. They're just empty.
Well, and that's what we're going to get into next. So hang on and keep listening. All right.
Alrighty.
Does anybody know what the residential spot in the Ix building is meant to be?
I can't speak to that as specifically as I can in general. I'm sure that it's one of the last phases, but we'd have to refer to the website.
Yeah, and I know that the website talks about how cool it will be to live there and be surrounded by all the specialty shops, the arts and entertainment, to be within walking distance of the mall. But I don't remember reading anything about them being, you know, having Italian tile, you know, bathrooms, or whether they're or whether they're designed to be, you know, reasonable size with a reasonable rent. I don't remember.
And it seemed to me from the website it was only a portion of the whole development. I mean, it looked like the way they were showing it was perhaps that building behind the one we did Artini in, is what it looked like, just that portion of it. So it's not like the whole place. And I think the mixed use really needs to be emphasized.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Andy mentioned Waynesboro, and I can't speak much to that. But one of the things that's, you know, one of the questions that is on my list is, this is discussed as a mixed use urban redevelopment sort of space, taking a building that was not in use, that I guess they didn't want to bulldoze over and, you know, and give to someone so that they could, you know, start from scratch and wipe out all the greenery and go from there, but to take something that had its own spirit and sort of internal beauty and go with it. But it's right across the street from, I guess, the old Garrett Square, now Friendship Court. So it's right there next to housing development that's on the lower end of the economic scale. And here we are talking about businesses, because the website does say that they're looking for particular things. They want a restaurant, they want a wine, you know, specialty wine cellar, and some other organizations like that, that give off the impression of not really being something that the Friendship Court Square folks need or want.
I think you're overlooking the fact that this is rural. I mean, it's urban, and that's an urban phenomenon where you go from one block has one audience and one block has another. And I'm not afraid of that. I think the proximity, I think the compactness of that area is what makes it urban. I think that brings a lot of life to it. I think that it's up to up to the business and the residents of the neighborhood to work this out. And it's an evolutionary process. I think one of the reasons that you have guidelines for in the website to describe what they hope to get is because there is vision involved in this thing. And there, you know, the vision is a jumping off place for your reality. You know, you try to paint a picture, try to make something that looks good. And I think that's what this is all about. They want good growth here. It's a green development. They have
green being environmentally,
yeah, absolutely,
sound and reusable water and using okay.
They and that's outlined pretty nicely in the website too, but that brings another kind of clarifying spirit to the whole thing. I think they want to work with the community both in a physical way, in a mercantile, all these things that we described, they're changing even now. Retail is changing shape entirely. The kind of businesses that need to be in urban areas, and it's all in the mix.
So you don't feel that, I guess, that the specialty, I mean, Andy mentioned boutique shops, you don't feel that the downtown mall was sort of growing into that area where it's aimed more at the upper middle class family and leaving out some of the folks?
I can't speak to the demographics, but I think that there's a stewardship there that will create a community that is functional.
I mean, I think from my perspective, I kind of keep my fingers crossed for the window either remaining open or reopening, because I think we've seen a lot of things sort of closed off in Charlottesville in favor of a higher price point, a higher kind of quality of living standard. And, you know, I think what our caller was talking about with Waynesboro having space and a lot of friends of mine and myself have been looking into Lynchburg and the space opportunities down there. And, you know, I like Charlottesville. I was born in Charlottesville. I returned to Charlottesville when I was 20 or 19 or something like that. And I'd like to stick it out here. I feel like it'd be a shame if all the fancy shops and fancy condos and stuff like that sort of managed to push a lot of people out, which they definitely have the potential to do. But Charlottesville has this spirit, and I've got my fingers crossed that Ix, which is one of the last, if not the last, sort of variable frontier downtown, that there will be some doors left open for some genuinely mixed use.
And I guess that's I appreciate that answer because I think that's I don't know if fear is the right word, because some people are very excited by everything that's going on down there, the art issues, the fact that there might be some new restaurants. And again, you know, I copied four things here off the website, that Ix is in search of a restaurant, a wine cellar, a veterinarian, and a moth museum, which I found to be interesting. But, you know, nonetheless, I didn't see anything that said, hey, those of you over in Garrett Square area, come over into the building. I didn't see anything that said, don't come over into the building.
We've done things that actually, there was something called the Shea Center that actually hasn't really coalesced like it might have. I don't know if that's even the word I'm looking for, but what, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, they tried to put together a group of they wanted nonprofits to use some of the space and share some facilities for office function. And it was a way of bringing smaller, more grassroots kinds of activity to the Frank Ix. This is something that goes on and on. It's not easy to continue to improve a space and still look at the immediate neighborhood. Just because of the stereotypes, just because of the way we see it happening in commercial capitalistic America, I don't know. It's going to be a different picture, but they're trying always. as an organization to bring everybody in so they get a piece of the community that's actually within the walls of X.
I mean, and part of the plan is, I mean, they already house nonprofits.
Yeah, absolutely.
One devoted to AIDS, and I think
that's right, the HIV right? AIDS Center is there.
Mm-hmm. And the Virginia Arts of the Book is there, which is an organization that was essentially saved by the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities and cited there. It was going to be closed, and it was a book press at the McGuffey Arts Center in the basement that had classes that were, you know, you could even apply, I believe, for a grant to take and learn about letterpress and bookmaking. So, I mean, to me, you know, for example, Second Street, I mean, an art gallery in some ways is always elitist. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that except what we do in terms of outreach programs to the neighbors and to be a public space that's open to anyone. So... Mm-hmm. I would hope that their plan, I think what their plan involves with is the idea that art is a part of life, and that's what they really believe in, and all that are involved with that project, is that art is a part of life and should be accessible to many people. And so the idea of a public space that people could go in without admission and see art from community artists or regional artists, I think, is very much a part of the plan.
All right, great. Excellent. Excellent series of answers to that question. I appreciate that. Caller, hang on just a second. I promise that I will be with you. We are talking with John Owen, Leah Stoddard, and Johnny St. Hours about the Frank Ickes Building in downtown area of Charlottesville. All right, cover story and the hook this week is a visit to King's Dominion, looking at the park with the view of an adult remembering the good old days. How have things changed? Lethal Towing has a new owner, the former owner's mom, and a new name, Cavalier Towing. Do they have a new business attitude? And the hook suggests not to get arrested in Fluvanna County, and if you are poor, why would your right to a court-appointed attorney be different in one other place than another? The hook, where the weather is always perfect and the water temperature just right. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. They have everything you need to get outside this summer. The professional staff at Blue Ridge can help you with camping supplies, maps, guides, and even guided backpacking trips. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can be found in the Berwick Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and in the inn, the Mountain Inn, at Wintergreen. All right, back to the action with Fred. Fred, did you hang tight?
I'm hanging tight.
All right. What you got for the group?
Hey, Rick. How are you today?
I'm well. Nice to hear from you.
Good. I figured I had a captive audience there with John Owen and Johnny St. Hours and Leah. The reason I'm calling, I wasn't going to call, but I kept hearing a reference to the spirit of Charlottesville, which is alive and well. I'm connected with the Albemarle Charlottesville Historical Society, and our spirit walk is upcoming in the end of October, as it always does, and it's the largest revenue producer of the Historical Society. But this year, we are in a quandary because we don't have a director. So, Mr. Owen, if you'd like to put another feather in your something else on your plate, we'd like to talk to you, or if you guys know of anyone that we might be able to speak with, we'd certainly appreciate it.
Well, my understanding was that my wife, Mindy St. Hours, would be directing this year.
Oh, well, I hadn't been informed of that. I know that Ron Prince has done it for the last 2 years, and he's really done a super job. And I'd mentioned John Owen's name to the board, and I just didn't know what had happened. So I stand corrected.
Is this like Monster.com on air? Fred, you're sneaky, man. You're sneaky. But we will give a pitch to the Spirit Walk. I went on that a couple years ago. Very entertaining.
Well, it's our biggest revenue producer, and it's something that sells out every year. So.
All right.
Thank you, Johnny. If your wife is going to do it, that's super.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks
for the call.
For catching up with me, Fred.
I'll let Fred do that because he calls in or at least listens on a regular basis. He gives me the feedback at work every once in a while. All right, 10 minutes left. Feel free to call up if you have a question or a comment. No job offers, please. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. All right, John Owen, we've talked about your interests and abilities, commercial artist, fine artist, someone who's been with Live Arts all this time, did you just, I guess, follow the people and places over to Ix? Well, or did you lead in any way?
Well, like I said, I was actually looking for material for a film set the first time I ever went. This was prior to 1999, before they closed. And so I knew some personalities over there that became resources to the community pretty quick. But
that was when it was still producing Silk, not before, not when it
that's
was
just the irony
on the
of
verge
it.
Or coming into being... I guess the multi-use artistic building that it is now.
Right. Well, I'm often in charge of large projects for fundraising. I'm going to do the Live Arts Gala again this year, as I always will, I hope. And I'm also going to help with the SBCA Critter Ball. Actually, I don't think it's called the Critter Ball this year, but it's their big fundraising event. It's a mask ball. And we're always looking for a place that can house the very people that allow the arts community to go on. You know, and so, of course, the minute that Ix was vacant, Live Arts entertained going over there to have their events. So I've done several events over there for them. And I also helped with the Festival of the Photograph to put together their Shots event. Actually, of the list of 14 events that I have, arts events that happened since 2000, I've been involved in half of them. So I suppose I know the space as well as anything. And I've also installed things in the space for the project to be permanent things.
Do you have your commercial or personal space in the building?
No, I don't have a personal space, but I've done some of my personal work is there. I've installed some beautifully finished walls.
But Owen Interiors is not in the space.
No. Now I work out of my computer.
Very nice.
But yeah, we actually, one of the most interesting things that happened there, though, was we took the mural from the old Boxer Jam or Boxer Learning Building. You know that interesting mural that was originally, it was part of a bank. And it was a lovely view of Charlottesville from Carter's Mountain or Monticello. From Carter's Mountain, looking down on Monticello Mountain. Anyway, it was a well-known local piece painted in the year of my birth, 55. And we actually gave that piece a home when the bank building changed uses, changed hands. So they were going to take it down, and we said, let's put it up at Frank Ix. It would be a nice thing for us to possess, to have within our whole body of, you know, local. This is the face of local history is what I keep wanting to say. You know, we know the face of tourism as the face of history in America, it seems like. We think of places where you go and get knickknacks with historical slogans on them. And, you know, that's tourism. This is history. When you look at Frank Ix, you see the layers of paint that were there, you know, in the last, you know, there are generations of people who walked up and down those stairwells and things. It's fascinating. I just don't think there's anything like being exposed to a facility like Ix.
Well, and so many artists have done site murals you were mentioning. Monty Montgomery did one for us for Artini at the last minute. It was
gorgeous.
A big wall, and he has just returned to town, and we're always looking to support living artists whenever possible. That's what we're about. And we just gave him a call, and he was game, and in 3 days made a mural for Artini that's still there, and there's a lot of site pieces there, sculpture as well as painting that... people just want to be as sort of records of the things that have happened there, but also kind of, again, adding to that spirit of creativity because, you know, the Waynesboro caller is right on in that, you know, really those that pioneer those left alone spaces, these forgotten spaces in these downtowns, and you see it happened in Stanton. The first people to go in downtown Stanton when it was dead were artists like Todd Murphy, who had a huge studio there and upgraded that whole facility, and then he left, and things started to change.
It's Soho effect.
That's right. And I don't know if that's something in the cards for Waynesboro or Lynchburg. That would be lovely for Lynchburg. But it's something that I think definitely happened in Charlottesville when it was just an architect in Second Street Gallery in the 70s, and then you started seeing artist studios on the downtown, and the studios sort of shifted outward and have been moving outward ever since the sort of gentrification has happened at the center. And we're just hoping with things like Ix that moving outward won't end up with Johnny being in Lynchburg, because that would be a shame.
All right, hang on, caller. I do want to remind everyone you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere. Patrick Allen is here for Les Timms Perdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Cyndi Lauper or Whitesnake or New Kids on the Block, which Johnny St. Hours is a big fan. But you will hear Pixies and Fiona Apple and U2. And he loves requests. Les Timms Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. All right, Carl, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for hanging on.
You bet. This is Sight the Fool. I'm president of the Charlottesville Philistines for Car Culture, and I just want to encourage you people to not forget cars in your artistic endeavors. For instance, I saw something you may have put up on Water Street this week. I think that's a wonderful step in the right direction. Just remember that the cars need art too, and take that into your embrace.
I'm sure that all methods of motion will be remembered at the X Building.
Well, there was a car that was Christian. Didn't Christian Breeden do a car sculpture that was shown at the X? It was an old VW Bug that's at their site now at Biscuit Run, but that was a monster he created out of a VW chassis that was a car sculpture that was a, you know, talk about
that's
reusing.
Right. And someone's doing a bus. Anson, is that his name?
Oh, I don't know.
There's some fellow local artist who's quite terrific and doing it's decorating a bus that I think may be on site at Ix at some time or another.
Art has emerged and appeared in different. You know, you never know when you enter that building what you're going to find, but it's usually something that an artist has made often.
I mean, yeah.
Let me ask a question. we just got a minute or two left, but I feel like this needs to go. Last week I interviewed Chief Longo about some of the security in the downtown area. Is that a concern for the three of you and for anyone else that you've talked to? Is, you know, with businesses, with events, and trying to draw all these people down there, and of course you want them to feel safe. Has that been a topic of conversation?
I don't think you have any more pedestrian risk than you have walking on the downtown mall, to tell you the truth. I mean, you're surrounded by high-density residential stuff. Those people want to keep things nice. I think it's okay.
Well, I mean, you know, for my employees, we've had some concern because we stay late for First Friday openings, the first Friday of every month. We are, you know, at the gallery till 9. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I do have people that work for me that I'm, you know, and the board of directors are concerned. But I think it's, as it said in the paper today in the Progress, it seems like an incident that was just a flare-up. And I think it is part of growing pains, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're all trying to get along and sort it out, and we have relationships with, you know, a lot of different groups in the downtown mall that come and go and see art in the gallery, and we just want to tell them we're there and open for them.
All right, real quick, because Patrick's coming on. Johnny, when do you move into your space?
As soon as I find somebody to come over with a truck and help me out.
John Owen, what's the next event there for you at the X Building?
I have no idea.
And Leah Stoddard, when is the next, is there going to be Artini 3? Are you doing that?
Oh, we're going to take a year off. We do
Are
two
you?
Years on, 1 year off.
Okay.
We're going to do an art auction in April, but it's going to be a little sleeper for a year so the poor committee can get a break because they're really tired.
All right. Thanks to the three of you for coming in. And people should go down. What is Ix? Is the website. Please check it out because, again, it was one of the most well-done websites in terms of facts and information that I've seen in a while. You can get some of the things we didn't go over, being a green building and how that was done, et cetera. Lots of little park space amongst all this. And I think it's hard to get the visual image in your head just from our conversation about how big it is and how many things there are there. So, and feel free if you're from out of town or even if you're in town to go check it out. Next week, Charlie Pasterfield and Bob Giraldi here to talk about music in the 70s and the current music scene here in Charlottesville. See you next time.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon Gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.